And cooperation with Christ is absolutely vital if we're going to continue to maintain an ongoing, vibrant calling, living for Christ, open heaven over our spirit, the favour of God, all of those particular things. We need to be connected with Christ on a regular, continual basis for that to happen. It doesn't happen by accident and doesn't happen by coincidence. We as the church need to what we call initiate a response to Christ that's not just one of a religious response, not one that's just out of a process or a routine, but one that comes from a spontaneity of love and a desire for God that's in our hearts. Once that is kind of what we call fertile ground within our spirit, within our heart, within our lives, then God can cultivate within us a fruitfulness that goes beyond our natural limitations. In our lives, we can be productive in life, but in our spirit, we need to be just as productive spiritually. And we need to be growing the type of calling, type of a lifestyle that Christ intended for us, so that we can, what we call, bring the two main importance of the Christian life to bear. And the first thing is knowing Christ and Him crucified, and being like Christ in everything that we do and conduct ourselves in life. So if there is what you would call a goal for the church or a priority for the Church of Jesus Christ, you can put those two things down on your refrigerator. So Jim is called to be more like Christ and to be like Christ, or to do the things that Christ intended for Jim to do. And so it's important that we understand those particular components, because I think sometimes in church life we go often just through a routine, or we go into church life and we start to navigate through our Christian walk, and we start to ask ourselves the question, what's this all about? What's the meaning of what we're doing here? And I think that sometimes we need crossroad experiences where we meet with Christ again in a whole new fashion, a whole new way that we haven't met with Him, even haven't met with Him last week or the week before or yesterday morning, but meet with Him in this moment, this season right now, that capitulates our lives growing in such a way that is so Christ-glorifying that God gets glory through His individuals through our lives. He originally created man in His own image so that He would be glorified through him. In fact, He said this, when man was born, He said, it's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. When He called Eve out of Adam's rib, He said, it's in the very likeness of God that I've created her for Him. And the very same reason when He created Adam, He said these words, I created him in my very image, in my very likeness. When you're looking at a figure of God or what God actually looks like, He looks like us. He looks like who He's created, His greatest glory. And if you look at His other creations, they are smaller than the angels. The Bible says they are weaker than the society. They look like giraffes or monkeys, or they look like the created thing upon the planet. The trees, the firmament, the land, the things around us, the creation of God. We can see it, but it doesn't reflect the image of God. There's only one creature on the planet that reflects the image of God, and that's the human mankind that God made. And He made him to glorify God, to glorify the very nature, the very essence, the very life of God within us. And when we walk that out, people can see the very nature and the very glory of God upon our lives. There are men that have walked the planet, Smith Wigglesworth. There are other people that have walked the planet, that their shadow, the very shadow of their life, the shadow of Jesus, fell upon people and they were instantly healed, instantly made whole and complete in the things of God. And so there's got to come a place in the hunger and desire within our lives where we reflect the glory of God within us, the substance of God that's in us. So what's the substance of God in you? It's the very nature, the very life, the born-again presence of God within your life. The Bible says that when God came and born you again, He filled you with His spirit. And that spirit cries out, Abba, Father. That means that very nature of God, the very reflection of God, the very relationship that we've got with God is not what we see external, not what we see, you know, externally in our lives and our appearance and our haircuts and our wonderful looking apostle jackets. It's not in our appearance that we reflect the image of God. The image of God is reflected internally. The internal glory of God within our lives that reflects His radiance out from us and brings glory to the planet. That when people see you, they don't just see your broken image, your unredemptive state. They see the Christ, the hope of glory, living within you, living inside your life. Is this good? I hope it's someone's getting something out of it. Your life in Christ requires what I call intentional grounding, okay? The life in Christ means that we, when Christ gives us His life, we need to be intentional to live that life out with God the very days of our lives. It's so great to see my friends here. You know, this man here and his wonderful wife, I've been in their home. They reflect the image of God within their lives in their home. They produce daughters in their lives, spiritual people in their lives that live the very essence out of them, because what they did is they shine the glory of God within them. It's quite important that we understand that spirituality or Christianity or living for Christ is an intentional reason to live. To be like Christ, to be more like Him, to live like Christ is an intentional thing. It's not something, some accident. It's not produced by some kind of feeling or some kind of weird incarnation or some spiritual thing. It's intentional that I live for Christ and Him crucified. And the Bible calls us this, the importance of being willing to be willful. Come on, the importance of being willing to be willful in the things of God. That means when God calls us to do something for Him, we don't moan and complain, oh, well, why do I have to do that? You know, why do I have to go to Kenneth Copeland's conferences? Or why do I go, you know, well, what an honor, what a great privilege it is for our lives to go and serve God or to go and do something on behalf of God or to do what God called us to do. The Bible says this, He said, blessed are they who, listen to me, listen to this. Blessed are they who, not blessed are they who what, blessed are they who. So they already know who they are. They already know what the design of their life is to do and achieve. Blessed are they who, listen to this. He said these words to them. Therefore, everyone who hears my words and does them and puts them into practice and is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The storms come, the evil comes, all of this type of thing comes, but this rock is not shaken. It stands the test of time. When temptation comes, when evil comes, when other things start to buffet and start to cause us to drift away, we stand because we're solid upon the rock. Those who hear the word, who, know the word, not think about the word, not kind of have an objection to the word, but those who know the word and put it into practice, they are wise men. They build their house on a solid rock, on the rock of Christ. It says the rains came down, the streams rose, the fires came and burnt the houses down in the street, but my house was not shaken. Its foundations were upon the rock of Jesus Christ. It was solidly built upon what Christ called it to be built on. And I'm quite sure that the willingness to be willing is absolutely important in the church life. If we have a characteristic of being obedient and willing to God, no matter what it costs me financially, no matter what it costs me in my family, what it costs me in my life, if we're willing and obedient to fulfill the call of God, God said He will take care of the rest. It's like this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things shall be, what? Added unto you. Added. That means that doesn't come instantly. it gets added. The word added means it either is produced, it grows, it develops, it comes through a season of time, it gets added to what you're already doing and what you're already achieving. So it's kind of important that we understand that. And it said this, the foundation of being willing to be willing, setting a clear foundation of being willing to God. Even when I'm sick, even when I'm not feeling like it, even when I'm going through certain circumstances, I don't let that manipulate me, control me, hinder me, hamper me from being intentionally willing to do what God achieves and God's doing in my life. I'll never forget this. Years ago, I went to Korea on a prophetic conference. I got to Korea. I'd been on the plane. I'd eaten something and I got food poisoning on the plane. It's not that the plain food was something wrong with that, and I'm not blaming that, but I think it's something I ate before I got on the plane. By about it's a 12-hour flight up to Seoul. By about 8 hours in the flight, my stomach, my head was bouncing like a basketball off a wall. And I said to God, I said, oh, I've got to preach tonight. I can't have this illness, can't have this sickness. You've got to remove it from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient. When you're weak, I am strong. And he kept saying it to me all the time. And I just kept getting weaker and weaker. And I got so weak, I started throwing up on the plane. And I threw up, and as a guy came up to me and said, you all right? And I said, he said, it looks like you got some food poisoning. I said, yes, I have. It's not from the plane, though. It's from something I ate last night or whatever. Anyway, so I'm thrown up in a bag. The plane comes to a halt with Seoul. It's about minus 10 degrees out there. We get off the plane. In Seoul, you've got to wear a suit and a tie. So I was just wearing casual clothes over to Seoul. So I get into the toilet, throw water on my face, throw a lot of talcum powder, all the smelly stuff I can get because I smelt like a thrown up baby. And I said to God these words when I put in the tie, and I said, oh God, just send me to the hotel room. I am not going to be able to do this ministry tonight. I cannot do it. And as soon as I said, I cannot do it, the Lord said to me again, he said, when you are weak, I am strong. Change your mindset. Change it. Make a change. Believe in me. Trust in me. So I said to God these words, right? I said these words, okay, we'll go. In the car, it's an hour and a half through Seoul traffic. I don't know whether you've ever been in traffic overseas in Asia, but it's something to behold. And I'm in the car, and I'm in the back of the seat, and my whole head is waving like a beach ball in the car. My whole natural being is crying out for a bed. It's crying out for sleep. I was on a missed a plane. There's a few other things in there, but that didn't go well. I get into the meeting. I'm sitting in the back where Travis is. I'm sitting in the back like that. I just sat down and closed my eyes. The worship just finished. The pastor gets up and says, it's great. We've been expecting God to do great things. It's great to have Pastor Jim, the prophet from Australia. Could you come and minister to us right now? So what ends up happening is I walk down there and my head is bouncing like a tennis ball. I get up to the pulpit and I can't, the place is packed. I can't see faces. There's a glare in my eyes. I can't see anyone. I close my eyes and the Holy Spirit said to me, why don't you pray? I said, that sounds like a great thing to do. So I prayed. I said, God, help us today, minister to the people. Holy Spirit spoke to me as I was praying about two people, like sitting right where you two are right now, sitting right there, and said to me that the Lord said that you don't have to go to Africa to be missionaries. The Holy Spirit fell on these two Koreans, and they fell to the ground screaming under the power of the Holy Spirit. The place erupted. It just erupted. Everyone just started saying, wow, 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 wow. And I said, does anyone pray tonight? So we just opened the thing. The whole altar call got full. People all over the place. We spent till 1 o'clock in the morning ministering and praying for all of them in prophecy. I realized when I sat down for coffee at 1 o'clock in the morning. You ever had coffee at 1 o'clock in the morning? Which is 3 o'clock in the morning up there because 2 hours difference. So you ever had coffee at 3 o'clock in the morning? I'm sitting there with the coffee and their coffee's about that small like that. I didn't have no headache. I had no, absolutely no issues at all. My body was glowing. I was glowing, radiating with it. power of the Holy Ghost. And oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. The lady that we touched when we said we were going to be missionaries, the ladies that we touched, they came to me at 1 o'clock in the morning and they asked, I said, oh, my daughter, she's gone to YWAM. She's going to Africa to be a missionary. When you said that she doesn't have to go, does that mean she doesn't go? I said, I didn't mean that. I mean, you don't have to go. You can be a missionary at home. And the woman cried, they cried, because a lady had only been saved, the young girl, only been saved a year, and she saw it on an internet. She wanted to be a missionary and wanted to go to Africa. It's great she went with YWAM. No problem with that. No problem with someone feeling a call of God to go. But, you know, the issue was that this church, long story short, this church was praying for a church building. They were praying for a church building. And this lady picks me up in the morning in a limousine and we go to her husband's office. It's 16 stories up in the Harn Bank. He's the whole CEO of the Harn Bank. He comes out from his office, like a door like this. He comes out from his office and the office we're sitting in is about as big as this, lounges and everything around it. We're sitting down the lounge. He comes out of his office and he sees me. And he comes running over to me like this with a finger going like this. Ah, you Christian, no good. Trouble all the time. Trouble with this Christian and Jesus. A real lot of trouble all the time. Continue and shaking his finger like that at me. Like that. And I had this boldness arise up. I jumped out of the chair and I stood like me and you stood together right in front of each other like that. I said, the problem with Buddha, though, is he's dead. Because he said, Buddha's very peaceful, no trouble, no trouble with him, but there's Jesus, all trouble with my wife, all trouble with my daughter, all this, yangster, all this trouble. And he said, but Buddha, he are really peaceful, because they're all Buddhists there. The Buddha are really peaceful. So I said, yeah, but the problem with Buddha is he's dead as a doornail. Jesus is alive. As soon as I said that Jesus is alive to the husband, he broke down and started crying. He sat in the seat, broke down, started to cry. A leader of the bank, the sternest man I've ever met in my life, stern as anything, is crying in the chair. And the interpreter comes across because he only could speak some pidgin English as the bank manager. And the interpreter comes across and says, you need to give your life to Jesus. The prophet, the pastor will pray for you. So we prayed for him, laid hands on him, had a word for him. He falls down under the power, receives Christ Jesus as his Lord and Savior. It was the most wonderful moment of one of my ministry trips, one of the most wonderful moments. I tell you, it was just so wonderful, so wonderful. But we've got to be willing when we're not willing. When everything in us doesn't feel like we're going to do what we need to do for God, we just got to get up and give God the chance to do a miracle. Give God the opportunity to do something in our lives when we don't even feel like doing it. And when you travel like I do all over the place, you're getting on planes, sick, you know, everyone's coughing everything, and you're on trains, boats, and you're on everything going everywhere all over the place. You're running into people of all types with all types of issues. You've got to be willing and obedient to serve the Lord. A second thing is we've got to have a pure motive. We've got to have a pure motive. Our motives have got to be for Christ. If we're going to live like Christ told us to live, we've got to have a motive that lives for Him and Him only. That means I'm here to live for Christ. I'm not here to benefit my own life, not here to build and feather my own nest. I have an eternity I've got to go into, and I can't be estranged with the world, entangled with the world. The Bible says we are in the world, we're not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. So we've got to distance ourselves from it, be in it, but distance ourselves from the whole carnality of the world, you know. Well, you better get income for this, you're going to starve to death, and everyone on the news telling you need insurance for that, and all of this stuff becoming more and more dependent on what the banks want us to be dependent on, which is money, and then be totally dysfunctional from what God intends for our lives. And that's what the world has got. It's got a world. We've got a world that's fearful. God wants to take care of them, but they take care of themselves. And when they take care of themselves, God becomes distant from them and allows them to take care of themselves, and they get themselves in an absolute disaster, a mess, a real disaster. And then as soon as they're at their bottom peak, they say, God, help me. And God's gracious enough to reach down and say, okay, I'm going to help you, but I'm not going to help you to go back to the way you were. Come on, church. Not to have our security in this life, But our security belongs in Christ. We have an eternity to shunt, an eternity to gain. And we've got to live for that. We've got to set foundations. That's what he said, that man built his life upon the rock and it could not be shaken because it had an eternal value. Everything that we do has eternal value. When you give money to the church, or when you give a drink, a bottle of water to the pastor this morning, or something, when you do something for someone, it has eternal value. Your credit list in heaven is going up. And I tell you, it's bigger than the Han Bank. It really is bigger than the Han Bank. Did I tell you the story? The Han Bank bought the church a building. They were praying for a building, right? The Han Bank bought the building for the church through this whole incident that we had. All I want to do is go to the hotel room. Imagine if I went to the hotel room, if I went to the hotel room that night and went to sleep, what we would have missed there. Because sometimes you just got to be willing. You just got to have the right motive to build the church. Final thing, and I know I've been too long, sorry. I said only 15 minutes, I promised you that. And we're going to minister to people. We've got to produce a greater spiritual hunger. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. This darn ministry nonsense today of coming to church and doing our duty. Well, we paid our tithes, we came to church, now we're going to spend the rest of the 40 hours a week on building our houses or doing all that type of thing. That's not what God intended for the church to be. We're in the ministry 24 hours a day. We're in church 24 hours a day. We are the church of the living God. We don't come to meetings to feel better. We come to meetings to produce the call of God upon our lives, to inspire us to be what God intended us to be in the world in which he put us in. So it's absolutely vital we have spiritual hunger. We have such a desire, a hunger for God. Not just this kind of routine, religious nonsense. Otherwise, we become like the Anglicans in the years to come. Or we become a church that can make a lot of noise, become a church that can do a lot of events, or become a church that does it, but has no spiritual hunger within it. No desire for God. No real connection with the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives. And we become wastelands instead of what we call reservoirs of glory and power and hunger for the things of God. The people who come to our meetings, come to our churches, come to our homes, they only see a fragment of what God can do. But they need to see the glory of what God is and the intentions of God through our lives and through our hunger, developing characteristics, the foundations of great promotion for the ministry and the call of God upon our lives. I'll forget Greg in years to come down in Campbelltown when we were together down there years and years ago, you had a pastor there. You had this church. It was so spiritual. The worship was so spiritual, so hungry. You would go in there. It was a spiritual warfare worship in that church there. And mate, I used to leave that place resonant with the power, the hunger for God. And I think that we need to cultivate again within our lives everything that we can do to produce a hunger for the things of God. It says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking or infants, but be infants in evil. Listen to this. Don't be immature in your thinking, but be infants in evil. But in your thinking, be mature. Come on, this is what he's saying. To cultivate a spiritual maturity, to cultivate a spiritual lifestyle that reflects the glory of God, produces stuff all around you. Produces daughters in the ministry. Produces churches going forward in the things of Christ. Ministry is not something that just doesn't produce anything. It's worthless. Ministry, when you're in the right, planted in the right place, in the right season, the right time in God, it cultivates a spiritual hunger, a tremendous hunger for God. And I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with this. The number one goal of the Christian life is to become more like Christ. And in doing that, or fulfilling that goal, we give glory to Christ. And when we give glory to Christ, it becomes the greatest honor in existence. The greatest honor in existence is his human beings wherever we live, whatever we do, giving glory to God brings us through, brings us to such a place. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing, forgetting what is lies behind me, stretching forth for those things which are before me, I press on. I press on toward the mark of the higher call of God in Christ Jesus. And let me explain this to you. That's not just doing ministry. That's being who I can be for Christ at the most essential, important level of my life. And that is that willingness to be obedient to my Savior, Jesus. I will go, I will do, I will fulfill, I'll be what you intended for me to be, no matter what it costs me, Lord. Father, I thank you for every single person in the life of this ministry. Thank you for Hope and Victory Church. Thank you for Lindsay, and thank you for Robin, Lord, who are on the very, very moments of great change, of great shift, of the move of the Holy Spirit within their ministry and their lives. Lord, let them not grow weary in doing good, but in due season continue to bless them and undertake for their lives. We pray for property. We pray for buildings. Not just bodies, not just healing sick people today. We pray for facilities to facilitate the ministry of your life going forward. For Have a Feed, for feeding the hungry, for this community. Every meal that they've given people and they've given out, Lord, they've sowed into the lives of those people. Lord, has not gone unnoticed by you. Father, every ounce of commitment and stability and strength and resolution that Pastor Lindsay and Robin have done by staying in the fight, staying in this their role, staying in the place that God put them. Lord, I know that you're going to pour out such a wonderful blessing. They won't be able to contain it, Lord. Father, all the money will come for Angel coming here and the ministry growing, all the visions that they have as leaders, Father, will come to pass, will eventuate, will materialize, Lord, in this world. Lord, we don't just have faith in faith. We have faith in Jesus Christ, the materializer of our dreams, the materializer of the things that we ask for, the materializer for the promises, Lord, unto us, his people. And Lord, for Pastor Lindsay and for Pastor Robin, Lord, we pray for them that you strengthen their arms, their feet, you strengthen their lives, Lord, going forward, strengthen their resolve, Lord, in building this wonderful ministry, this wonderful church. Lord, bring into them, Father, bountiful supply, everything they need, Father, for their own home and the church, Lord, going forward. Lord, there be no lack, no want, no areas of concern financially, but everything will be there, Lord, for your desire, for you, Father, to fulfill the call of God upon their lives. And so we bless them today. We give them praise in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Father, for Pastor John. We thank you, Father, right now, Lord, for June. We thank you, Father, for their lives, Lord. We praise you for their legacy that they have built, Father, in Bendigo and beyond, Lord, for the kingdom of God, for the work of God. We pray that, Lord, in this season that you would multiply, increase, oh Lord, all that you have for them. The promises that you gave them in their youth, oh Lord, would be multiplied back to them, Father. Those things, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, are stolen. Those things, oh God, especially in John's health and areas, Lord, would be restored, brought back to wholeness and completeness. And Father, we thank you, Father, for their home, Lord, going forward, that Father, you continue to bless their endeavors in Bendigo. Their legacies are legacies long lasting, Lord. The eternal value that they planted and left in that ministry there is going to be increasing, go beyond, Father, their living lives here, Lord, and leave a great legacy for the years to come in their status, in their place. Oh, Lord, we love you. We bless you. We give you praise. Father, we're so hungry for you. So want to see you move and do wonderful things in the world in which we live. Oh, God, you're so good. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the increasing desires and hunger in this one, Lord, today.
Thank you for the spiritual power that resides in this life that is not yet brought to fullness. The Lord says, if you would hunger after me, if you would long for me, I would fill you with an everlasting love, a love that will break forth, a love that will break free, and like a woman of God of the old, like a woman that announces that she cares for those broken, compassionate ones, like those of that have gone before you, I will raise you up among people. I will cause your light to shine in this dark world, and others will know the radiance and the love of Christ from your life. For you are always been one that has been set apart by God, set aside for the use of God. And so God says, I will take you now. I will liberate you from those things that are around you, free you up, cause you to live for me in a greater level of ministry, greater level of calling, greater level of desire for God. It's a real hunger in you, a real good woman here, a real spiritual woman called by God to do things for Christ. It's fantastic. It really is. And there has been quiet days in your spirit, son. There have been quiet days in your heart, quiet days in your spirit where you have at times laxed, have at times pulled back, have at times withdrawn. Other things have become more in place there, more in your heart. They've been there distracting you. And the Lord says, I want you to remove those distractions. Return to me again with your first love. Draw again that power, that anointing of the Holy Ghost again back into your spirit. And I will give you seasons of great prayer, seasons of great ministry, seasons of words from the Spirit of God for your brothers, for your sisters within the work of the ministry. And I'll call you as an exhorter, one that exhorts, one that lifts up the lonely, one that lifts up the broken, one that lifts up the hands of the feeble, the hands of those that have lost, the hands of those without any control. I will bring them forth even in this season and this time. You will know the very hand of God again, afresh and anew over your ministry, over your calling. So return to your first love. Return again back to me, for the rivers shall flow. Rivers shall flow, even in that dryness, even in that barrenness within your soul. I shall cause a river to flow in this time, this season, a new flow, a new flourish of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Father. We honor you. We thank you. Father, we thank you for this man of God. We thank you for this hunger, a spiritual desire, a love of God within him. Lord, there's a testimony in this man that brings people to Christ. He's an evangelist, a man called by God, separated from the world, separated from these things, Lord, around him. Lord, let his voice be sharp. Let his evangelism, let the word of God come from him. Lord, let not this mind, oh God, get in the way. Shift his resource. Tell him to settle down. But Lord, let him be that superman, an evangelist, that super word of God, that man of great importance, of great liberation of the word, where the people around him, Lord, think that he's just like a bit silly, knowing Christ, living for Christ. Lord, let that radiation, the power of the importance of Christ, come from him. That Lord, that they may see within him, God, a man that's serious, a man that's been set apart by the Lord, a man that doesn't wander any longer, go back and forward this way and that way, but a man that established upon the rock sees and builds foundations for the work of God, the call of God within his life. So Lord, bless him, Father, with new spiritual radiance, new spiritual endeavor. Oh, we thank you for him, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the Lord. Well, there's something growing over your lives right here. You know, the Holy Spirit, I just see now that you're building a kingdom of God, not a kingdom of man, not a kingdom of other people, not a kingdom of denomination, not a kingdom of realization, not a kingdom of others, but you're building a kingdom of the Word of God within your own hearts, within your own lives, through the revelational power of the Holy Spirit that's over your lives. The Lord will build upon your ministry line upon line, precept upon precept, and the Lord will bring to you those that are necessary to build the work, to do the functions of the ministry and the call of God, and you'll be like facilitators, facilitating one to go and this one to come and that one to be here and that one not to be here, and the Word of God will rise up within your hearts and your lives and your community, the place in which you exist, the world in which you live in will notice that the hand of God has come upon your ministry in new ways and in new endeavors. So I have brought you to this place even now and in this time to separate you, to establish within you that soul concern for the ministry and the call of God. Even though the work in your lives, other works, the other things within your lives, they will grow. They will grow beyond you. Others will take their concerns over, but your concerns will be the ones of the ministry. Your concerns will be the ones of the preaching of the Word of God. Will be the ones of praying for the sick. Ones of laying a spiritual foundation, spiritual platform for the work of God and the ministry of God. And so, as you do not doubt in your hearts, but believe me as your God, that I will do and produce through you my will and my being into your hearts, you will see a new day. And in fact, I see it even now. I see a real new open opportunities, new day coming, fresh seeds being planted in your garden. And the years to come, they're going to be fertile soil. It's going to be a growing ministry, a growing work of God within your hearts, within your lives. I call you pastors because you care. You're shepherds of the sheep. You're not shepherds of a denomination. You're not shepherds of an organization. You're shepherds of the people, of the men and the women of God. And as you shepherd them, care for them, look after them as I would myself, then you will bring forth greater fruit. You will see greater seasons of men and women raising up with great confidence. You know, that's been the issue in your lives. You've been lacking that confidence to be what God intended for you to be. But if you would leave behind your abilities, if you would leave behind your reservations, if you would leave behind all of those secret places that you have within your hearts of concern, of inability to do the work of God, then I will fill the space of the Lord. I will fill it with completeness. I will fill it with my hand. I will fill it with my resource. I will fill it with the glory of God going forward to do the ministry. For you don't need to do it in your own strength. For in your strength you are weak, but in mine you are powerful. And I will use you in ways that you wouldn't even understand, wouldn't even know. And you said to God, sir, you've said to God, this far and no further. But the Lord says, he's going to break that wall down. In fact, I see it now, jackhammer, breaking that wall down around your heart, around your spirit, and you're becoming willing to be willing what God's intended for you to be. And it's going to break your heart, but what's going to do, it's going to bring a great love and concern and compassion for the kingdom, for the church, for the work of God. And you're going to be so blessed, brother, so blessed in your ministry, so wider than you think, wider than your reach is, way beyond it. I see missions beyond you. I see a city looking to you that's been broken and hurt and needs healing and repair and mending, and that can only have that by an encounter with God. I see you being a city man, a man that's going to be realized in that city for love and for concern and for compassion to raise up the ministry and raise up the call. Ma'am, you've had in your heart for years, this yearning to serve the Lord with preaching, a yearning to minister the Word of God. Even as a woman, you know, you've said to yourself, well, should not that be my husband's resolve, my husband's issue? But the Lord's put that gift, that anointing within you. So, you know, you need to be that. You need to reach out to that and fulfill that. Don't let your status as a wife, don't let your status as a woman keep you in the background, keep you under the shadows, but let your call of God raise you through the roof, raise you to be the woman of concern. I see you laying hands on the sick. I see you laying hands on the disrepaired, the broken. I see you laying hands on those that are in grief, laying hands on those that are wounded and that need repairing, need mending, and the anointing through you is going to bring great liberty, great power of God to reach out to the souls of lives of men and women. Father, we thank you for this wonderful couple. We pray for them. We pray that they stand in their ministry and their calling, Lord, and after standing, they would stand again and not be moved and not be shaken and build the work of God, complete what you started within their lives. Bless them, Lord. Thank you for them. They're a wonderful, wonderful couple. In Jesus' name, amen. Ain't it been great? Sorry, Pastor Lindsay. I know you need to. It's nearly 10 to 11.
I lost a little rubber ring off this, haven't
you?
How are you going? Yeah, I was just listening, and Rusty was stunned with the word spoken into Staff's life, and there's a testimony. There's a testimony or two down that row, and I said to Rusty, we had a service going while Pastor Jim was ministering. We need to get some of you guys together, and I'll have a cup of coffee with you. And the Lord's asking of you some significant changes in your lives. You do some changes, and he can then use you far over and above what you can even think and imagine. You've just got to tweak and put the fine tune button on. Rusty, as you know, has been in and out of hospital with various things, but he got more results back, and he's much better. He's just been telling me. So give the Lord a hand there. And we might be able to develop that a little bit on Jim's next visit. We'll just see what it is. There's a special timing in this type of thing, and it's good. And how's the daughter of the ministry going? You're happy, aren't you, love? Yeah.
That was lovely.
That was really lovely.
Yes,
yes. The Reverend Doctor really appreciates and sees. She sends me these texts every now and then.
It was a year before I found out that our dear Pastor Lindsay is actually a Reverend Doctor. So now I take great pleasure in saying Reverend Doctor.
She won't let it go. Yeah, yeah. Now, where's that bag of thingies?